Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis, podcast number 58, is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. The 2017 Australian Open concluded earlier today. I mean, all I can say is, wow, what a treat to have had the women's and men's finals we enjoyed this weekend. You know, at the start of the tournament 2 weeks ago, I doubt there were too many people who would have written Venus, Federer, and Nadal into the finals. I was Serena, yes, but not the other three. Venus is 36 years old, Federer is 35 and coming off a six-month layoff from injury, and similar for Nadal, who missed the last few months of 2016 with an injured wrist. I think we'll all be savoring this one for a while. So congratulations to Serena Williams for winning her seventh Australian Open singles title and 23rd Grand Slam singles title overall. Serena has now surpassed Steffi Graf and is now only one shy of tying Margaret Court, who holds the all-time record with 24 Grand Slam singles titles. And what can we say about the incredible Roger Federer? Federer capped off an improbable run and won his 18th major by defeating Rafael Nadal, his biggest rival, in a thrilling five-set final. So what did we learn from the Australian Open? Well, let's start with the women's game. In previous podcasts, I've talked about the transition atop the women's tour. Aside from Serena, it's been fairly unpredictable, and will continue to be that way until someone steps up and can sustain an elite level of play from tournament to tournament. Now, we saw Simona Halep make another early exit at a Grand Slam, as well as several other top players who had rather muted performances. Players such as Angelique Kerber, who was the number one ranked player heading into the Australian Open, Muguruza, Pliskova, Sibukova, and Radvanska. Meanwhile, Johanna Konta and Coco Vandeweghe served notice that they indeed should be ones to watch in 2017. It was also nice to see Venus, at age 36, play as well as she did get to the finals. And if she continues to play at her current level, we may not have seen the last of a Venus-Serena final in the tournaments to come this year, so we'll see. Look, the fact is, Serena is still the player to beat, and is the favorite to win every tournament she enters. What was really impressive was the routine manner with which Serena dismissed the challenges by some of these top contenders en route to winning this weekend in Melbourne. I mean, Safarova, Strixova, Konta, Lucic, Baroni, and of course Venus. On paper, these look like they should have been very tough matches, and yet Serena didn't drop a single set in the tournament. Now, perhaps we'll see a little change in the competitive landscape, or not, when Sharapova returns in April, or if and when Azarenka returns from maternity leave. Until then, even though there are some great players in the top 10 and just outside of it, as far as the tour is concerned, it's still Serena's world, and everyone else is simply living in it. On the men's side, it was an absolute dream final, and completely unexpected. Being huge Federer and Nadal fans, I really didn't care who won. It truly was a win-win for tennis and for fans alike. You know, that said, although I wouldn't mind seeing it, I won't go as far as to predict that Federer and Nadal will be battling it out in the finals of every big tournament this year. What we did learn is that Federer, at the ripe old age of 35, is still capable of beating just about everyone not named Djokovic. Meanwhile, Nadal, now 30 years old, appears willing and able to make adjustments to his game to continue to perform at this top level. Nadal recently added former world number one and 1998 French Open champ Carlos Moya to his team. In addition, and I talked about this extensively in podcast number three and other podcasts in 2016, Nadal seems to be making a concerted effort to change his court position, at least to account for some of the quickness he's lost due to injuries and wear and tear over the past couple of years. You know, he's still positioned firmly on the backhand side of the court and is always looking to hit his big forehand, but he's no longer camped out near the backhand corner of the court. He now plays a step or so closer to the center. Now, I've been talking about this since January of 2016. This is an important adjustment for Nadal to make because where he has become increasingly vulnerable over the years is on that forehand side when he gets stretched or pulled wide. When he gets stretched like that, he ends up hitting a spinny topspin forehand that lacks bite and penetration, making it fairly easy for his opponents to go on the offensive and immediately put him on the defensive. You know, by moving away from the backhand corner by a step or so, he is able to mitigate the frequency of getting pulled wide on that forehand side, at least as far as the type of shots, the pedestrian type of forehands he's been hitting in recent months. So if Nadal can stay healthy between now and the French Open, I believe he will continue to make those refinements necessary to be considered a legitimate favorite to win another French Open crown in the midst of Murray, Djokovic, and other top contenders. Now, while we're on the topic of Federer and Nadal, you know, perhaps it's just me, but I'd like to share an observation about today's final. Now, I've probably seen the last, 20 or so Federer versus Nadal matches. In watching this final today, it did not seem to be as physical or as punishing as some of their previous battles. Now, don't get me wrong, the match certainly featured a lot of great rallies and points as their matches typically do, and yes, it was physical, but it did not seem to be nearly as forceful or punishing from point to point as we have seen in their past encounters. Now, I think it goes without saying that Federer's and Nadal's games are a little different these days at ages 35 and 30, respectively, than they were a few years ago. Now, folks, that's a fact. It's not a criticism in any shape or form. The point I'm trying to make is this. In some respect, they might have been a little fortunate to have faced each other in the final, each having played some grueling matches to get there. And I'll leave it at that, because I just want to enjoy these great champions for however long they're going to be around. Lastly, this Australian Open reminded us yet again that the future superstars in men's tennis are close, but not quite there yet. Whether it's Sasha Zverev, Dominic Thiem, Nick Kyrgios, Raonic, Nishikori, to name a few. One thing we may have witnessed, though, is the reemergence of Grigor Dimitrov. Now, Dimitrov's a former top 10 player, at least he was in 2014. He struggled mightily in 2015 and really for most of 2016, but he started to play well again towards the tail end of 2016, and obviously has done pretty well so far this year. If Dimitrov can continue playing at this current level, the way he is confidently striking the ball on both wings and playing with smart, controlled aggression, I don't think it will be too long before he wins a major. Now, I believe he has a big enough game, at least nowadays, to complement his athleticism. If there's one thing he still needs to improve is the transition game to net and getting more comfortable at net. But his baseline game, offense to defense, defense to offense, are top shelf. You know, it's going to be an exciting year, probably more so on the men's tour than the women's tour. You know, we're still waiting to see who on the women's tour, not named Serena Williams, will emerge as that viable and consistent threat to win the big tournaments. For the men, it's great to have Federer and Nadal healthy, back on tour, and in top form. Hopefully, the Australian Open final was just an appetizer of what's to come for the rest of 2017. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.